your life. And it's a good thing to thank somebody when you get something from them, when they give you something. Have you ever given somebody something and they didn't say anything? And you're at the end, you're like, you could have at least said thank you. At least that much. I grew up when, I mean, my mom and dad were awesome. I can't tell you how wonderful they were. And just give it, we'd have to take a long time to get into that. But it was in a denomination that was very strict. And this was the guy, I figured this out. The guidelines, the bylaws of the church were this: if it was fun, it was sin. That's what it came down to in my teenage years. If it was fun at all, it had to be sin. But my mom, you know, I took her to see The Passion of the Christ. How long ago was that? 10, 12 years ago? Right here in Rock Hill in Manchester theaters. And we watched that, and she sat beside me, and I got her popcorn and drinks for The Passion of the Christ because I wanted her to enjoy herself watching Christ suffer. It just came to me. But it was one of those things where she looked over at me after that was over, and it was wonderful. It really was wonderful. I mean, the very first time I watched it was the most powerful time. And when he stomped on that snake, I loved it. And she jumped, and she's only like this tall anyway, but it looked like she came out of her chair that much. But she told me, she said, John, I haven't been to the movies. And she counted it back. It was like 50-something years. I was like, Mom, I didn't know you had ever even been to a movie. And she said, when I was 16, I snuck out of the house. And so you that have teenagers in here, just ignore that. That's not permission. But I couldn't believe that my mom had ever done anything wrong. She snuck out of the house with some of her friends and went to the movies. And here I find out about it 50 years later, and I'm struggling with a little bit of anger down inside. It's like, but anyway, so that kind of opened up a door for me, because all along as a kid, even though that religious type thing was strong. I mean, it's kind of gripping strong, and it pushed a lot of people away. And I felt it trying to push me away, but along the way, I had enough fun with it, and my parents really were on the edge of that. Not that they, I think that it wasn't like it was a bad thing, but it was like I started realizing my faith in God doesn't need to be fear driven, it needs to be a relationship. And I need to behave myself out of reverence and a righteous fear of who he is. Not that he's going to get me or send me to hell or my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he's just sitting there and has an angel and saying, you know, John, don't write it in pen, write it in pencil, because we're going to have to erase it several times. But along the way, I would mess with my mom because she wore a long dress everywhere we went. I saw her one time when it snowed real bad. My dad told her she could wear pants because nobody was around. Everybody was snowed in. And I thought, we're missing church. We're not even going to heaven now. We're missing church because we're snowed in. And my mom's wearing pants. What in the world has happened here? But she didn't wear makeup or anything. She wore hair up in a bun. And then when she got older, like 60s, I guess, she... Let me get a beam between you and me. All right. When she got older, she cut her hair. And, oh, yes, that was like parting the Red Sea. But I told her, I said, Mom, I'm so glad to see you come out from under bondage. I'll be here all week. But she always... she was the dishwasher. We did not have a dishwasher. Her name was Mom. It was not Panasonic or anything like General Electric. It was Mom. But she would always be washing the dishes, and something was always cooking on the stove, wasn't it, Christine? She kept a pot of beans going in case somebody came by, so we'd have something to offer them. That's how I was raised. They come to the house, feed them, they're hungry. But so one day, this is the longest opening in the world for this. But it probably doesn't even make sense, but I'm going to go ahead and roll with it. So one day she's sitting there washing the dishes, you know, a little bitty thing with her bun. She's washing, and she always talked to the Lord, always. And she would always say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. See, every few minutes, water comes on, more dishes come in, pots clean. Thank you, Jesus. Love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I was walking by, about 16 years old, and I heard her doing that one day, and I just stuck my head back around the corner. Nobody else knew. She said, thank you, Jesus. I said, you're welcome. She said, immediately, I mean, I'm almost one of five kids. Immediately, she said, John. So she knew which one it was. But there's something about being grateful. There's something about being thankful. I told you last week that it's hard to resist somebody when they're full of gratitude. It's hard to resist somebody that is truly thankful. It actually pulls on you and makes you want to do it again or do it more or even do it bigger. There's something wonderful about that. But there's also something about gratitude that is resetting to our mind. Romans 12:2, I have probably used this scripture at least once a month as long as I've been preaching. I love this scripture, Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the... so that... you may prove what is perfect will. I mean, it's not like y'all are reciting it. It's right there. I know of it. But it sounded good. Be not conformed, but be transformed. And this is how. By the renewing of your mind. Renewing. Re-knowing. Knowing something again. Recognizing your mind. Going back to what you know. And that's how we renew our mind. Because your mind is your battleground, right? It's not just the place that you fight the battle. It's the place that the battle starts. And it's also the place where you win or lose. You win or you lose it here first. You arrive at places because your mind went there first. So you better get your mind right so that your path will be right, right? I want the Lord to order my steps, but you know what that calls? That doesn't just mean that I'm going to end up every place that God said for me to end up. You know what has to happen after he orders my steps? Obedience. We talked about that this morning. Obedience. Now he'll order the steps, but you got to obey what he said. Philippians 4.
Thank you, Billy.
I'll just preach towards you this morning. Get a good amen. We'll be here for a couple hours. You keep that up. Ephesians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Rejoice. That has to do with the word joy. And this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. So why would I let the world take it away from me? If it's His, my joy is complete when it's His joy. That you have this joy and that it be complete, whole, finished, settled inside of me. The joy that I have. Joy does not mean that the situation is good. That means that even though the situation is whatever the situation is, I understand my position in the Lord and joy can come out of me. That really is what distinguishes us from any other people. His word says that we are peculiar, and there's some areas that we need to be peculiar in. It doesn't mean we need to be weird in. What did you say about weirdness, about a book or something you wanted to write? Or yeah, don't be weird. Wouldn't that be a good book for Christians to read? Don't be weird. You can be peculiar, but don't be weird. Be settled. How would it go for you if I said a second ago, you can tell about someone's identity in the Lord by the size of the problem it takes to trip them up. All right, I'll keep going. I don't recognize when it gets quiet. The thing is, this is the thing about joy. Joy is an internal thing, even though there's an external thing. I'll keep trying. It's an inside job instead of an outside job. It's what's really going on inside of you, regardless of what the appearance of the thing is. Verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's going back. I want to have my mind renewed, and then I want the peace of God surrounding me, and I want a guard around my heart and my mind. And that has more to do with me than it has to do with Him. He's already set the solution up in order, but all I've got to do is obey. And that's where the problem comes. Sometimes we don't like to obey. I felt the amens going way down on that one. It's a tough one. So, in my mind, there's this thing that I battle with. You know, they say that the mind is separated into different spheres, left-sided, right-sided. I don't know all of that. I'm just glad that they say I've got a mind. But I know that there are times when situations occur, and if I can just keep it real and logical and make sense out of it, I can stay the course. But if I let my mind become overwhelmed with a problem, then here comes anxiety that I've got to deal with. Here comes trust issues. Here comes questions. Where are you when He's always there? What I talk about a week or two ago, that God's presence is not limited to His felt presence. And inside the church, sometimes we limit God to His felt presence. A song moves us to a place where we feel something. Can I tell you, God was still God before that song, during that song, and after that song? And if in the middle of that song that was going so beautiful, my beautiful wife would have hit, I missed a point right there. But if she would have hit a bad note, and she never does that, but if she would have made a bad note, God would have still been God. When I was a youth pastor, There was a kid in the youth group. This was an indicator for me of some teaching that I needed to do. Because a kid in the youth group at the end, he came up and he said, "Pastor John, I think you missed it tonight." He said, "I had my friend here," and he said, "If y'all would have just sang that song," and he named the song, "I know he would have got saved." And I felt like saying, "You're not going to see me for about 3 days. And on the fourth day, you're going to see me a little bit. Because your eye's going to be swollen up. You're going to start seeing me again about the fourth day." But I realized he's getting that out of my teaching. So in other words, if I could elevate you enough in worship, if I could get something feeling right, then that would break the chains. Can I tell you, you need something more than a song to break chains off of your life? That's why I made a comment a little while ago. My praise today, I got to be real. How is my praise today going to be affecting my problem tomorrow? Do you understand what the scripture says in Mark 4? And it says this, it predicates it with this. If you don't understand this, how will you understand any of my other parables? And he said this. He said that the enemy comes immediately after you get the seed of the word. That can happen before you get to the car. "Honey, why didn't you open the door for me?" He opened the door for his wife. And the eyes get big. And you know what the enemy did? There went the word. The next time that happens, say, "Honey, what was the pastor's text this morning?" "I don't know. I don't care. I just want you to open that door for me." The enemy can come in sneaky and get the word from us. So really, our praise, your praise is important. But your praise has nothing to do with people being a cheerleading group up here for you. That's a very shallow thing. It's when you can praise. And I know some of your situations have been better than they are right now. But when I see that it's not affecting your praise, that's another level. So where do we go from this place in the Lord? Or this place in our mind? Where do we go from this place in our mind? I said our mind, usually we do pretty good when we can keep it in the logical realm. What gets jacked up is when we let it go to the irrational realm. Have you ever had that happen? Where a situation, you know how the enemy gets you there? The enemy wants you just to consider the irrational. And you start considering the irrational. And the next thing you know, your heart's pounding and cold sweats are coming and your breathing gets a little heavier. And you need a reset, but you're not sure how to get there. Have you ever needed a reset? As much as I've preached Romans 12:2, have you ever considered that during the week, what Pastor says about I need my mind to be renewed? I'm going to tell you what renews your mind. Gratitude. When your mind is logical and the enemy hits you with these negative thoughts, those negative thoughts begin to overwhelm the logical reasoning part of your mind. But what brings it back on track is your gratitude. How do you get gratitude? By thinking. How do you get gratitude? By thanking. By thinking and thanking, because it's going to be really hard for you to thank without thinking. And what you're doing is you're taking back the territory of your mind. When the enemy comes against you and attacks your mind, you need to let your mind go back to the places in your life and begin to think about where God has rescued you from before. And let that be a stepping stone for you out of muck and mire to bring you to another place, because his track record is perfect. It really is. Ours is not, but his is. And there's something powerful that happens when you begin to think about what God has done. Because when you think about what he's done, you will thank him. And the more you think, the more you thank. And the more you think, gratitude enters into your mind. And things will settle back out again. And that gratitude will overwhelm what was overwhelming your mind in the negative places. And you'll be able to come back to that place where he wants you to be. Because here's the thing about God. We go through stuff in our lives. Does anybody go through stuff? Is anybody going through stuff? Do you know what the reward of your victories are going to be like in your life? The reward of your victories is actually your next battle. And it doesn't feel like a reward yet. But when you understand that God is building you, has anyone ever done any strength training? And you go in and you're able to lift 50 pounds, or let's say 10 pounds. But if 2 years later you're still at 10 pounds, nothing has been built. But if at 2 years later you're at 50 pounds and you were at 10 pounds, something has changed. You have gotten stronger. How does that happen? Through resistance. You have an enemy that resists you. But out of that, you have a God that is able to propel you out of what the enemy's attack was and to make you better. So where do we go from this place right here? This place of gratitude. When God has done things for me, I can't not praise him. I can't not thank him. Can you? I mean, when I think of all that God has done for me, I have to thank him. But things can get messed up. Things can get like this. This is the week. I mean, we started worship, and it only takes... Some of you understand what I'm talking about. There are things that can happen in your life, and afterwards, there are these triggers that can happen. When something tragic has happened in your life, it could be a smell, it could be anything, but usually it's through words. Somebody says something, and even now a praise, I can remember times when, oh, but you were still good, Lord. This Sunday morning, 2 years ago, this is the week, so the days are a little bit different, but 2 years ago, this Sunday morning was the hardest I've ever spent in prayer in my life. And you were there, and it was just us. And we were in a hotel room in Charlotte. Because we were literally so beaten down after spending months in the hospital with our daughter. And we had gotten the horrible word about where this thing was going. And we prayed. I don't know how long we prayed, but we prayed till we didn't have a voice anymore. And you laid in that bed, and I put my hands across your feet, and I just stayed at the foot of that bed. I don't know how long we prayed. And I'm not trying to be super spiritual. I'm telling you, I didn't know what else to do. Have you ever prayed every word you know? Have you ever prayed till there's no words left, and you're thankful that you have connections to people that are praying for you? pray in the Spirit and pray in the power, and then just pray and lay and just sometimes just not say anything, but you're done. You're out. And when you started with worship this morning, it just hit me. It took me back 2 years. Like, oh, that's what was going on. This was the week that our Kinsey went to be with the Lord. And the Lord did something very kind to me this week, even though it's kind of strange to start with. At the end, I realized, oh, that's you, Lord. Because it is amazing how you can go through something and things feel good, but all of a sudden you realize through a memory that today's the day. And you hadn't thought about it at all, but something happens to trigger you to realize this day a year ago, this day 7 years ago, this day however long ago it was, so, John, you got that picture? The first one, not the one with the sun in it. Just a close-up. So I was going down Mount Gallant Road. Took Walker to school. And it was a beautiful, bright, clear, sunny day, just like you see right here and just like you see over the top, except for the whole sky was blue. Beautiful day. Beautiful day. I took him to school, and about India Hook Road on the way back, coming back down Mount Gallant, I was about a mile or so from the house, India Hook. I saw coming through the woods this huge, through the house, I'm talking about pillar, and I thought it was smoke. I literally thought, because I'd see a little bit behind it, and I could see this blinding wall of smoke, and it was just building. I said, someone's house is on fire. And I turn off and go down in there. I'm weird like that. I go towards the danger sometimes. But I thought, literally, I thought, is there somebody I could pray for? Is there something that I could do to help? And I was, my adrenaline just went off the chart. And I'm driving, and I'm just turning down different roads, getting closer and closer. And all of a sudden, I am at Lake Wylie. And it's just above the dam. And I realized I don't smell any smoke. And I rolled the window down. Oh, I just dated myself. I rolled the window down. I rolled down the window. As I rolled down the window, I realized I didn't smell anything, and it came to me, it was fog. And since I am old, I'm not very good on my phone, but I know how to look up the Weather Channel. Since I am old, I always want to know how cold it is and where the wind's coming from. The wind said, out of the south at 0 miles per hour. In other words, dead calm. And if you got up early enough this morning, you came across the Catawba River, you saw how that fog was there. But it was dead calm. So what had happened was obviously just enough wind moved, or the thermals or something pushed it back up towards Mount Gallant Road, because we only live about 500 yards from the river anyway. So the fog was among us. I mean, it was right there. I thought it was a fire. And then I just felt like, boy, you missed it. You were wrong. So I got back out on Mount Gallant Road, and then I went to this power line. And right here is North Rock Hill Baptist Church. So I pulled up in there. My house is like right here. And there's the, I'm just telling y'all that in case anybody wants to drop by any cakes or cookies this week. My house is like right there across the street from North Rock Hill, Mount Gallant. Go back to the other one. I wish you could zoom in, but can you see right there how the power lines? Okay, go back to the other picture real quick. John. Okay, you see the distance between the power lines? You see that? That's just like 200 yards max. So go back to the next. All right, look at the cables. Do you see them disappearing right there? When I tell you it was a wall, it was a wall. Now go to the other picture. Look what's coming through. But right there, if you would have been right there, you would have seen nothing but white smoke. Actually, white fog. And just like that, the Lord was so kind to me to say, John, you know what's on the other side. You just don't see it right now. And for everything that we've been going through the last couple of years, I know what's on the other side, but just don't always see it. But that's not going to affect my praise. Because on the other side is praise all the time. On the other side, I will never need to have my mind reset again. My mind will be new. My body will be new. Everything will be new. There's another side. And I don't see it right now, but my faith is painting a picture. And I've got to focus on that. And I've got to see through that fog to understand it's there even if I can't see it. Even if I can't touch it, it's there. And it's taken me a little while to understand that even though Kenzie's life is over at 20 years old, mine is not, and yours is not, and our grandson's is not, and our other daughter, our young son is not. Our lives are not over. So for as long as we live, we've got to see past that fog and keep going. And there's things that we need to step into. Will you come? Are you okay to come? There's Ryan or Dale can play. One of these guys can play if you need them to. I want to turn to one more verse of Scripture. Because I want to bring, that's about me. That's really about us, but I want to bring this back to all of us. You can read your Bible really well when you put on reading glasses and you need them. When you look at all that Moses did and how Joshua followed Moses and how after the death of Moses, all of this greatness was there for Joshua to lead people into the promised land. Now, once they came into the promised land, what did they have to do? They had to fight. What's the reward of your last victory, your next battle? That's not always easy to see, but that's how it goes. I mean, the Scripture does say that we go from glory to glory. It doesn't say it's glory as one straight line. It'd be nice, but that's not how it goes. It says we go from glory to glory. And how we get there can be different. But we will get there. Yes. And some of my glories have been straight down afterwards. But that leaves this. There's a way that you can look at it where you will look forward to your next. We had to start rescheduling nexts in our lives. That became a huge word for us. I need a next. I need a next. I need a next so that I don't get stuck right here in my mind. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I needed a next. But battle, you think Moses fought battles. You look at the list of battles that Moses fought and the list of Joshua, it's about double. But after the battles were fought, and now it was time to divide and divvy out the land to the tribes. Y'all remember that? There was a time when even though the land was being divvied out, there were some tribes that were waiting. Even though the land had been fought for, even though it was theirs and they were inheriting the land just like God said that they would, there was a time when they were waiting to go in and take their possession. And it said this in Joshua 18. I'm just going to read you three verses and we're going to be done. Now the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of meeting there. And the land was subdued before them. In other words, captured. It was theirs. But there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. Then Joshua said to the children of Israel, "How long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you?" It was already theirs. This was the backside of the promised land. It was already theirs. God had given it to them, but the word was, "How long will you neglect to go in and possess what God has given you?" Seven tribes. And we think of seven as the number of perfection, but it's actually the number of completion. And the word came down, seven of y'all. He said, "I want you to all come in. I want completion to this." So this morning, how many of you are neglecting to go in and possess what the Lord your God has already given you? You know what you need to do? You need to say, "It's mine," and you need to start walking towards it. Yeah. Walking towards it. It's mine. God has prepared it for me. He's helped me through every battle. And I will not neglect to go in and possess what I believe is mine. If you will get that attitude about you and you can walk in gratitude, you will walk differently than where you have walked, the way you have walked before. You can tell a lot about someone when they're walking differently. I remember one day in high school, junior high, which is like high school on steroids. No fun. And somebody was mean to me every day. He was one of those guys that he was big. He's like, when I prayed with Billy a minute ago, I was standing beside Billy. I'm a big guy. I'm 250, but you're bigger. And this guy's name, of all names this guy could have, guess what his name was? Mac. His name was Mac. Who names their kid Mac anyway? Sorry. Did I just offend somebody completely? Because it's a cool name. I wish I was named Mac. But Mac picked on me every day. And one day, my brother found out about my oldest brother. And he said, "I'll pick you up from school." Can I tell you it changed the way I walked? I didn't even avoid Mac. I walked by Mac and here he goes. I said, hey, Mac, guess who's picking me up today? My big brother. I still had to walk past Mac, but I walked differently, not because who I was, but because of who was going to be walking with me. Will you stand this morning? God's not leading you into a place that He won't walk with you. But it'll affect the way you walk if you realize not just who you are, but who He is.
Yes.
You will walk differently. Can you just talk to Him right now and say, God, I will walk. I will walk with You. I will hold Your hand. You will order my steps. I will obey what You say. I will go in and possess what You have for me. I may not be able to see it, but I believe it's there. Can you just say this word, completion, Lord? Completion, yes. Lord. Thank You for completion, yes. Lord. If I'm the only thing holding it up, God, I'm going to walk towards it. I'm going to move towards completion in Jesus' name. Will you just ask Him right now, say, God, help me to get the picture of my hand in Your hand and me walking with You. It'll change who I am, but it'll help me also to understand who's walking beside me. And I thank You for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
In the crushing, in the pressing, You are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, You are breaking new ground. Sing it again. In the crushing, in the pressing, You are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, You are breaking new ground. So I yield to You and to Your careful hand. When I trust You, I don't need to understand. Sing it again. So I yield to You and to Your careful hand. When I trust You, I don't need to understand. So make me a vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever You want me to be. God, I came here with nothing but all You have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Make me Your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever You want me to be. God, I came here with nothing but all You have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Oh, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. 'Cause where there is new wine, there is new power. There is new freedom, and the kingdom is here. I lay down my old things to carry your new fire today. Cause where there is new wine, there is new power. There is new freedom, and the kingdom is here. I lay down my old flame to carry your new fire today. Make me a vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. God, I came here with nothing, but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. God, I came here with nothing, but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Oh, bring it out of me. In the crushing, bring it out of me. Make new wine. 'Cause in the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine.
Yes, offering words of praise right now. Praise you, Lord.
You're making praise new you, Jesus. Wine.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus. You are making you, Jesus. New things.
Praise
Lord.
You, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. It's just a gratitude is a change in perspective. It's a change in perspective. Can you just ask God to help you right now to reset to gratitude? Start looking at your situation differently. We just came out of Thanksgiving, and that's a day. But being thankful is a lifestyle. That's a year. And boy, what a year we've been through. But being thankful right now is a very important thing in your life. And it will keep you centered. I promise you, it'll keep you centered. And it will bring you back from off of the edge. It'll bring you back. God, help us to be grateful. Let our hearts be full of gratefulness. You've designed our mind so much that gratefulness actually resets our mind. So let our minds be renewed in you through thinking of who you are. And we can't think of who you are without thanking you for who you are. So we give you praise, Lord. Guide our footsteps, Lord. Order our steps. And then help us to be obedient to what you said. In Jesus' name. Make us the vessel that you want us to be.
Yes.
God, we don't pick out a vessel and say, I want to be like that vessel. You make us the vessel that you want us to be. Thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start you off right now. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for Jesus in my life. I'm grateful for you in my life. One more prayer. Lord, seal this gratitude up inside of us in Jesus' name. Can you ask Him to seal this gratitude up inside of me? Don't let the enemy steal this from me quickly. I've got the tools to repel the enemy. Seal this gratitude up inside of me. My mind is reset right now, and I'm going to go in the strength of that in Jesus' name. Amen. I bless you for the week ahead, and God will be with you.